Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. All right, guys, we are back. Today is Monday, August 10th. We have a brand new episode. Let's jump right into things. But first, the best way you can listen to this podcast is by downloading the Anchor app. And once you download the Anchor app, whether you got Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Pocket Cast, and many, many more, that's how you get it to, all right? Appreciate all my listeners. Like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend, please. The channel is growing, and we really want to make 2020 count. All right? I want to go over the NBA awards for y'all real quick. All right? First, I wanted to do the MVP. So, my MVP picks, I guess I'll give my top three. Number one was Giannis. Number two was LeBron. And this is going to be controversial, but I had Chris Paul at number three. So let's talk about Chris Paul real quick. When he got traded for Russell Westbrook last summer, I bust out laughing. One, I thought it was he's petty. I don't like petty people, so I kind of celebrated it. But more importantly, I thought with Westbrook gone, their team didn't have much talent to win. So even if you think that Chris Paul is a better passing and a better creator or facilitator than Westbrook, you would have a hard time seeing that OKC team going to the playoffs. That OKC team can go anywhere between number three and number six or seven, all right? They'll probably finish four or five, but the fact that they're even a playoff team is definitely a tribute to one, Chris Paul, and two, Billy Donovan. So, you know, without that being going too long, that's why I had him number three. Number two, I had LeBron. A great bounce back year from LeBron. I thought last year LeBron was bad by LeBron standards. He actually been playing defense this year, and I've been killing him last year. I wouldn't put him on an all-defensive team, but he has been playing defense this year. Now, the only thing, he'll play the weakest defensive player, so it's still easier for him as other elite defenders will play the hardest guy. But again, for a guy that I was dogging and playing no defense, he has played defense. The Lakers have been terrible. They're actually probably a top five defensive team now. And you got to give him credit where credit's due. Also leading the NBA in assists, all right? And number one, oh, one more thing about LeBron. I don't like how everybody does this year 17 thing. That don't got nothing to do with the MVP. Like, stop telling me his age and his years. Like, he's in year 17. That's great, all right? It's 4:55, all right? That doesn't mean anything. It's just time. You know, does he or does he not deserve it? I think a lot of the media narratives is just pushing for it because I think kind of people are just getting kind of voters fatigue off of voting for Giannis again back-to-back years. And, of course, we have Giannis, the Greek Freak, is our number one MVP player, averaging 31-16, six assists a game, averaging 31 points in 30 minutes, blowing teams off the floor, top five offense and defense, plays both ends of the court, literally been blowing teams out this year. I think they blew about 55% of the games out this year that has been over 15 or more. So, you know, it's I try to tell people it's just different levels of this stuff. And again, offense and defense, you won't find a better player that has a higher peak and that plays consistently hard night to night than Giannis. And the numbers that back it up, all right? Next. Give me one second, guys. I have a whole list here. Ooh. But I do want to thank everybody for y'all listening to the podcast. I'm trying to figure out a schedule. Whatever. Let's just keep going. I gave y'all that pick. Where's my defensive player of the year? I had Giannis number one. I had Anthony Davis number two. And I had Rudy Gobert number three. I want to say this. I think Rudy Gobert is probably still the best center in the league as far as guarding the rim. But to me, versatility is becoming, I won't say equal, but it's got to be getting up there. It's probably with the number one thing you look into a defensive player. To me, it's how many positions he can switch just because most NBA teams will have to switch on to different players. And I don't think there's a better person in the league that can guard one through five other than Anthony Davis. I mean, excuse me, Giannis Antetokounmpo. All right. I think Anthony Davis is pretty close up there, but I still think guarding guards, pick and rolls, blocks, steals, deflections, I'm still going to take Giannis over him. See, the thing with Giannis is he really don't got a weak spot. You know, He's in all five categories that makes you a great defensive player. I just named a couple of them. I'm a little disappointed that Embiid is not in my top three, but I felt like for 40% of the season, he was kind of sulking. I don't know if y'all remember, he was kind of saying how he wasn't happy. And I just didn't think he played well until about the second and third half of the season. You know, and there's no reason why he wasn't playing well. Honorable mention to Ben Simmons. I think because of the injured games missed, he's probably not going to make the finalists for this award. But I do think he's one of the five best defenders in the league. I just think these guys are greater than him as a total impact. But I do think he's one of the five best defenders in the league. All right. Now we're going to keep it right moving. Next, Rookie of the Year. I have Ja Morant. I think most people have him across the board. Second, Kendrick Nunn. I had Brandon Clark second and Kendrick Nunn third. I understand that Kendrick Nunn is a starter for a playoff team, but I thought Brandon Clark was their best pick and roll forward. They have Jaren Jackson from Memphis doesn't really play like a big man. He kind of just takes a lot of jump shots. And I thought when they got him that they really gave their team some versatile as far as diving to the rim, playing defense. And he can he's very mobile big, too. He started 62 games, Kendrick Nunn, too, and averaging 16 points. But I gave it to Brandon Clark. Again, I know that's not a popular pick, but you can go back and forth with those. As far as Ja, even if Memphis doesn't go to the playoffs, the fact that they're a competent team is because of him. The fact that they are good enough is because of him. So, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. All right. Next, Coach of the Year. I have Nick Nurse 1, Billy Donovan 2, and Mike Budenholzer 3. All right. Again, the Toronto Raptors are the best defensive team in the league, and they're still a top 5 offense with losing their best player last year in Kawhi Leonard. I got to give a lot of that to the coach just because how they play. Now, to me, I'm a little bit worried about their defense in the playoffs, but we have not gotten to the playoffs yet. And they're 2 in the East. You got to give credit where credit is due. I just think they're great. And again, if it wasn't for Milwaukee just dominating teams, they could probably be 1. But, now we go to Budenholzer. Just the way that they have their offense to complement Giannis. When you have 4 shooters spread and you have Giannis going to the lane, you have to pick your poison between Giannis going to the paint and killing people and, you know, giving up a bunch of 3-point shots. So I'm going to say offensive philosophy is a lot what has to do with it, but they also defensively, they improved. And, you got to give a lot of that to the coach. Remember, before they had the same roster. They don't have a bunch of different players. And before they had a different coach, they really didn't do anything. And, again, 3, other than Chris Paul, I have to give Billy Donovan a lot of credit. So he's my other pick for Coach of the Year just for making his team competent and playing super hard. All right, so when a team plays hard, to me, that's a sign of the coach. To me, one of the reasons why I don't think Brett Brown is a great coach for the Sixers is they don't play hard all the time. My best sign of a good coach is that we always play defense hard, always. And OKC, they're a top 5 defensive team, but as far as effort, I don't see anybody play hard on defense. Now, their offensive is an average offense, but again, defensively, they don't play around. And I got to give a lot of that credit to their coach. Next, 6th man of the year. I went with Montrezl Harrell 1, Dennis Schroeder 2, and Lou Wings, or Lou Will, whatever you want to call him, 3. Even with Zubac as their center, I still feel that for the Clippers that Montrezl Harrell is the guy that teams can't scheme for. He can switch, rim run in play, he can post up, and he can pass. I just feel like he completes their team and they become so much of a better team when he plays. Hold on for 1 second, guys. I just feel that he changes the game when he comes in. One of his energy, his rebounding, and his scoring. You know, as much as I love Lou Will, I do think he has a greater impact behind Kawhi as their third best player, behind Kawhi and Paul George. And I just think when he comes into the game, whether they're not playing hard, whether their energy isn't good, he is bringing the heat. Also want to give a big shout-out to Dennis Schroeder for really kind of re-changing his game up. If you remember in Atlanta, Dennis Schroeder had a terrible three-point shot, took a bunch of bad shots, kind of was out of control a lot of time, not really organized. He has become a solid three-point shooter, and the offense has not slipped. And you got to attend some. When you have somebody like Chris Paul that can dominate the ball and just control everything, you're expecting that offense to slip tremendously when he's out. With Schroeder, they're on the same boat, and he can play with Chris Paul and Shea Alexander, you know. So you really got to give him some props there. All right, and let's get the last two games. The Nuggets and the Lakers. Lakers are favored by 5. I'm going to go with the Nuggets, man. I'm going to go with the Nuggets. I'm still not buying the Lakers. They got to commit to defense. But the biggest game of the night, the two baddest people in the NBA, Jimmy Butler and T.J. Warren. As we all know, T.J. Warren has been their best scorer in the bubble, and that ain't even close. He just had 40 on Saturday. All right? You saw what we did to the Sixers. They still cleaning up in there. It was a crime scene. They still got yellow tape around the court. I am picking the Pacers to win. I think they got a good matchup. Now, that's only if everybody's healthy. Both of these guys are questionable, so let's hope we get the matchup we want. And don't let the refs take away from this game. Again, I know what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to call two techs early and just take all the energy. Keep the energy in the building. All right? Now, let's go over last night's games, and then we're going to get y'all out of here. I didn't even talk about it. Ben Simmons got hurt the other day. He dislocated his kneecap on the most random play. He kind of caught a rebound and just came up super gimp and just started shaking his foot. Guys, I don't know. He came back from a season-ending injury just to have another season-ending injury. I do not want him to rush back. I did not think the Sixers team were really going anywhere. It was really false hope, you know, just lying to you. So, well, if, you know, you tell the things, if all these things, if the shooters that didn't shoot, and if Al Horford turns into somebody, no. The best thing that can happen to the Sixers, and this is from a complete objective standpoint, is they get killed in the playoffs, get rid of their coach, and develop a team. I always tell people, the Sixers need to have a competent team without Embiid and Simmons. Their team, if you don't have those guys, they stink. Your other best two players, Horford and Tobias Harris, they're not good enough, man. They played Portland yesterday. They weren't good enough. And again, Tobias Harris, if he is not shooting 40-plus percent from the three-point line, that contract was a waste. And I like him. He's a tremendous leader, amazing person off the court. But on the court, average. Al Horford, over the hill, you know? And I just don't know the direction of this team. So when y'all hear me kill Elton Brand, it's because as much as I try to get on the players, yo, man, you can't put a square circle into a round peg. You know what I'm saying? So, it's been frustrating, man. But honesty is always the best thing in the end. And you need to know when you stink so you can shower. All right? And the Sixers need to shower and get a new roster. I don't think they're going to get rid of Elton Brand, but whatever. Yo, last night, real quick, let's go over last night's games and we're going to get you out of here. The Brooklyn Nets defeated the LA Clippers 129-120. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, the Clippers didn't play nobody. They played everybody. All right, now Caris LeVert had... Do they have a 49 spot in the first quarter? All right. Caris LeVert finished with 27 points. Joe Harris, 25 points. 5 for 8 from the three-point line. Jared Allen, 16 points. Garrett Temple, 9 points. I got to calm down from the Sixers, y'all. They shot as a team 20 for 33 at the three-point line. All right. And I'm going to just say the Clippers didn't respect their opponent. Now, in the second half, they did get it better. They got the game down to 3 points in the third quarter. Kawhi did finish with 39 points. There is no Paul George. He didn't play yesterday. But even still, Paul George shouldn't be why you don't beat this team. And Brooklyn is 4-2 in the bubble. Let me say it again. The Brooklyn Nets are 4-2 in the bubble. I don't know how. I don't know why. But they're good. And again, Kevin Durant and Kyrie next year, they should be the best team in the East with their role players. And that's only if they remember that these role players can play, not if they just both gunning and jacking up 25 shots a game. All right? Just a pathetic. The Clippers just didn't respect their opponent. Like, their defense was lazy. Following the game from Saturday when they beat the Portland. I'll talk about that last before we leave. Just a bad game by... Bad game by the Nets. Next, the Rockets and Kings. The Rockets won 129-112 over the Sacramento Kings. With this loss and with that Portland win yesterday, the Sacramento Kings are officially eliminated. We're going to do a review of the Sacramento Kings right now. The biggest mistake they ever made was not taking Luka Doncic, all right? Harry Giles was a top five All-American recruit. They kind of had his three torn ACLs between his knees. He can still play, but you really can't depend on him. Buddy Hield, they gave a contract extension and then stopped playing him. Again, he's not a great defender, but he's not this bad. And I'm going to have to continue to ask this question. Are we sure that Luke Walton is a good coach? Because, again, that Warriors record is really looking cute, but he's going to these other teams, and it's just looking like, huh? He's looking befuddled. He's always looking aloof. I don't want no aloof coaches. All right, that's the word of the day, too. So, real quick, let's give you our box score. Yo, this podcast is dedicated to Austin Rivers. 40 points, all right? 41 points, excuse me. 6-for-11 from the three-point line, 14-for-20 in 33 minutes. Him and Harden had the same thing, but again, big game from Austin Rivers. Right now, the Rockets need somebody else other than Westbrook and Harden to come in and score, or I do not see them making serious damage. Their shooters, as far as Daniel House, Robert Covington, and P.J. Tucker, they got to get it together because they don't hit nothing, all right? Their shooters don't shoot. It's not the problem with this no-center team. That's fine. But the real problem is the shooters don't shoot, so you really don't kill the defense for playing super small. So they got to get that together. Ben McLemore also played well with 20 points. Robert Covington, he is rebounding and playing defense. 13 rebounds, 12 points. P.J. Tucker, 33 minutes, 1 point. All right? P.J., you got to be better. All right? As far as the Kings, Buddy Hield played 25 minutes, had 16 points, but he was pretty bad. He turned the ball over a couple of times, had some pretty shoddy defense. Still, you can't be playing Corey Joseph more than you play Buddy Hield. He actually started Corey Joseph, so I'm not feeling that at all. De'Aaron Fox played well, finished with 26 points, 9 assists, 2 rebounds. Bogdan Bogdanovic is probably the second best player. I think they need a veteran. If I was the Kings, and I'm not just saying as a Sixers fan, I would trade for Al Horford because if you give me a solid veteran that can give me 15-10, he'll play much better in that system. And you not play Harry Giles as much and not play Jabari Parker and Nehemiah Bleitzia, you know, all these average big men. If you can give me a legit starter, you'd be a much better team. And the last 2 years, they've been kind of hovering around the playoffs. I think, one, they need a veteran, and two, they need some discipline on defense, commit to defense, all right? And I don't know if Luke Walton is the guy. He's getting a little overrated to me, you know? I think he's been sitting on that Warriors record. And with him when the Lakers and now the Kings, it's just like, yo, it's not working. And it's not everybody else's fault. Last night, the Portland Trailblazers defeated my 76ers 124-121. But that ain't the big story of the game. The big story of the game is two things. One, Damian Lillard had 51 points. And I loved all of it. All right, he's one of my favorite players in the league. If your best player in the league tortures your team, I don't get upset about it. It's nothing you can do. But Joel Embiid kind of had a weird play where his ankle got stuck in the stanchion. I think he's okay. I think he just has a sprained ankle. The Sixers made this game very competitive. Again, Josh Richardson, who's been in a slump for the last 6 weeks, was on fire. He had 34 points, 6 for 10 from the three-point line. Al Horford, not bad. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And again, Tobias Harris, I'm sorry, that's not enough. 16 points and 7 rebounds. If there's no Embiid, you have to be more assertive. You have to stop shooting that 10-foot floater, take another dribble, and get in the paint. All right? He's just, I don't like, he's a good player, but again, he gets paid. I want y'all to look up the contracts. He makes $20 million more than Kawhi Leonard. That's all I'm going to say about that. As far as the Trailblazers, Damian Lillard really carried them. Carmelo played well with 20 points and 7 rebounds, hit a couple of big shots late. But it was really Lillard a bust because Nurkic and Collins was average. The bench didn't really do much. Gary Trent Jr. finally cooled off after being on fire the last couple of weeks. Listen, that 51 points by Dame kind of saved him, man. And he kind of did that off of losing to the Clippers and missing those last two free throws. So listen, I don't know where y'all rank Dame as far as point guards. I still don't consider James Harden a point guard. If you want to, fine. But Dame and Steph are 1 and 2 point guards for me. And I know some people say, well, I think Dame better than Steph. I don't know what it is, but the Warriors record, without Kevin Durant, don't even put Kevin Durant in there. The Warriors record versus the Portland is just, I don't know. I don't know if it's the matchup, if it's the style. They kill Portland. All right. Remember, Kevin Durant didn't even play those first three games last season, and they got smoked. So I don't want to hear that. Oh, Sixers. I'll be okay, y'all. Next, the Celtics won 122-119 over the Orlando Magic. Boston moves up to 47-23. Orlando falls down to 32-39. Nikolai Vucevic had 26 points and 11 rebounds. And again, all year has been pretty much 20-10. Markelle Fultz playing a lot better from the three. Excuse me, from the playing a lot better. 0-4 from the three-point line. But then had 10 assists and 6 rebounds, 16 points. Terrence Ross finished with 18. As far as the Celtics, they were actually losing the game most of this game. And Jason Tatum, listen, what can you say? 29 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. But Gordon Hayward, player of the game, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Jaylen Brown also played well with 19 points. Again, most of the game, the Magic were winning. They were winning late. They were up 6 with about a minute and 20 to go, and they gave the ball to Jason Tatum 3 straight times. And 3 straight times, Orlando switched with Fultz on him, and 3 straight times, Fultz got cooked. I don't know what the coaching is in Orlando, but if you have Fultz on Jason Tatum, I'm going to ask for a double. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a podcaster. Next. Spurs and Pelicans. The Spurs won 122-113 over the Pelicans. And with this loss, the Pelicans are eliminated from the postseason. And J.J. Redick, 13 years in a row of making the playoffs, is gone. That's what happens when you left the Sixers, you bum. I don't feel bad for him. All right? As far as the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan has been playing really good. He's kind of changed his game up to where he shoots no three-pointers. It's either mid-range, going to the basket, or creating for others. 27, only 2 assists, but he had about 7 hockey assists. With a guy he passed to another guy, but that guy scored. All right. DeJounte Murray, 18 points. This is his first year coming back from the ACL injury, so I really feel like next year he'll be back. I really feel like this has not been a lost year, but more of a learning year. Still pretty high on him. Rudy Gay off the bench with 19. Bellinelli with 14. I don't know how Bellinelli is still doing that. As far as the Pelicans, Zion actually played well. He finished 10 for 20, 25 points, 7 rebounds. But look, when your backcourt gives you 13 points, Holiday with 7 and Lonzo Ball with 5, you ain't winning jack diddly squat. All right, Brandon Ingram played okay with 17. J.J. Redick, 31 off the bench, so still played great. But again, your starting backcourt cannot have 7 and 5 points collectively. That is Trinidad-ish, all right? I got 2 more games, and I'm going to get you guys out of here. Mail just came. Sorry, I just saw the mail, guys. All right, next, the Toronto Raptors defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 108-99. Memphis loses again. They're still hanging in there, but man, without Jaren Jackson, it's really tough for them to get wins right now. Dylan Brooks is the most overconfident average player, and I don't mean it as a diss. He plays above his skill level time after time again. Ja Morant, 17 points, 7-19 from the field. Anthony Tolliver, 5 points. I'm not going over that. Grayson Allen, 20 points off the bench, and Brandon Clark was 16-9. As far as the Raptors, again, the consistency from the starting five with Pascal Siakam with 26, Kyle Lowry with 15, Fred VanVleet with 14, Marcus Gasol 10, OG Anunoby 6. They probably get a top three best starting five in the league just because everybody can either hit a shot, pass, and defend, you know. Again, Memphis is surviving by dear life to that eighth spot. And last but not least, the Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the Washington Wizards 121-103. All right. Danilo Gallinari had 20 points, 3-5 from the three-point line, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Chris Paul only 13 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Huge game from Bazley, 23.7 rebounds and 1 assist. He's a small forward. It's about 6'9", 6'10". Can do the ball a little bit. Really good at finishing and starting to develop a three-pointer. He had 5'8", so on fire today. But, again, Washington is also eliminated from the postseason. And, again, what do the Oklahoma City Thunder do? They don't turn over the ball. They hit timely shots, and they play great defense, all right? Not a great team by any means, but the ability to get it done night after night after night, all right? Now, I'm going to leave y'all here today. I appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Our next episode will be Friday. So we're going to go back to the Monday-Friday routine. I wanted to do the 3 days a week, but I don't think three podcasts a week is necessary. We are 1 week from half of these teams getting eliminated, so I think we'll be okay. All right? Remember, the playoffs start in a week. Next playoffs is August 17th. The best way you can listen to this podcast is however you want to, all right? All right, but I'd like to thank and shout out to Anchor for sponsoring me. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Music, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Stitcher, Radio Public, and many, many more. All right, hashtag know your role player, KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. Peace.